Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we want to continue thinking about the resources God gives believers, which enable us to discern spiritual truth from spiritual error. Today, I'll begin by reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Last time we took an extended look at the anointing and what it means for followers of Jesus to be anointed. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a tremendous spiritual resource and is God's gift for enabling true believers to grow in Christ's likeness. In verse 20, the Apostle John said, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." Now, as we know, John is battling against the Christ deniers. These false teachers were denying the nature of Jesus Christ. They were either denying his full deity or his full humanity. So, when John says of believers that you all have knowledge, we immediately want to ask John, knowledge of what? Very likely, John is referring to knowledge of the true nature of Jesus Christ. These believers to whom John is writing have already been taught about the true nature of Jesus Christ, and they possess this knowledge. Not only that, John has already emphasized the point that believers are anointed with the Holy Spirit. So, God resources believers with both the Holy Spirit and true knowledge about Christ. Spiritual knowledge is not restricted to some elite inner circle. The false teachers would like for us to think that. They'd like for us to think that they have some sort of special divine insight which separates them from other people. But John rejects that idea. God grants knowledge to his people through the Scriptures and through those who faithfully teach its contents. And God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, who applies scriptural teaching so that believers come into understanding of the truth, and so that believers can discern truth from error. John says he's writing not because these Christians don't know the truth, but because they do know it. They already possess the truth concerning the true nature of Christ. John isn't trying to give them some new teaching. John is simply exhorting them to bring into active use the information they already possess. John wants Christians to do two things. First, remember the truth they've been taught. And second, put the truth they already possess into active use. Friend, in our battle to discern truth from error, and in our battle to be faithful Christ-exalting Christians, our greatest defense is to simply remember what we know. For the most part, we spend too much time worrying about what we don't know. We too often worry that we lack some all-important piece of spiritual insight. But what we need most is not some new truth. What we need most is to remember and actively apply what we already know. Perhaps the most overlooked fact of the Christian life is that things would immediately change for the better if we would only put into practice what we already know. That's not to say that we never need to learn anything new, but it is to say that most of us already have enough light to walk by if we would only use it. Now, this little point is critically important today. In the 21st century, there are folks running around all over the place seeking some new spiritual insight that will change their life. That's true for Christians and non-Christians alike. But the truth is that Bible-believing Christians already have ample truth available to them. The greatest need is not acquisition of new truth. The greatest need is application of what is already known. Oh, and by the way, John uses that word truth. It would do us all good to remember that truth is that which corresponds to reality. Again, truth corresponds to reality. Said another way, truth are words spoken and written that correspond to objective reality. A truth is a declaration which corresponds to reality. And God is ultimate reality. So, truth is that which rightly corresponds to the truth of God. And the truth of God is revealed in nature and is revealed in Scripture. So, if ultimate objective reality is God Himself, and if God reveals Himself through scriptural teaching, then it's not surprising that rebellious human beings will go to great lengths to suppress the truth revealed in Scripture. One of the beautiful things to observe about Jesus is his confirmation of the truth. A very basic observation about Jesus is that he was a good teacher. All of the major world religions agree that Jesus was, at a minimum, a good teacher. Most all of the major world religions agree that Jesus was a good teacher and a prophet. Of course, Christians believe that Jesus is more than a good teacher and a prophet. We believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. But if we simply rested on the observation and belief that Jesus was a good teacher and a prophet, we could learn many, many things. The New Testament record was provided by those who were the closest associates of Jesus, those who traveled with him and were his closest disciples. Their culture of honor and respect, honoring and respecting their master, meant that they went to great lengths to communicate the accuracy of the things concerning the life and ministry of Jesus. Not only that, the closest disciples of Jesus, the apostles, went to great personal risk and endured great personal sacrifice so that the life and teachings of Jesus would be accurately communicated to others. In these carefully communicated writings, we find the authority of Jesus being confirmed through many various miracles. These miracles were no sleight of hand. These were the kind of very public miracles that only God himself could do. These miracles served to authenticate the truthfulness of Jesus and his message. These miracles authenticated that Jesus was speaking and acting at the behest of God himself. In effect, when Jesus conducted a public miracle, God was saying, "Listen to him." When Jesus conducted a public miracle, such as bringing a dead man back to life, it was a way of God saying, "Listen to him." So, when Jesus spoke, his words corresponded to ultimate reality, and the actions of Jesus corresponded to ultimate reality. So if we truly want to know truth, we will look to Jesus. Jesus himself is the truth. In fact, in John 14:6, the Apostle John carefully records Jesus as saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus himself taught that he is the truth. In the context of 1 John, the truth that the apostle is referring to is the objective reality of Jesus. Jesus as the long-promised Messiah. Jesus as God in human flesh. This is the truth that the Antichrist were seeking to distort. Yet John's readers already knew the truth about Jesus, and this was the thing that the Holy Spirit was confirming in them. The false teachers were distorting the truth, and they were distorting the truth about Jesus, and they were distorting that which corresponds to objective reality. And this is the very thing that each of the modern Antichrist cults do as well. They deny the truth about Jesus Christ. And they do that by mixing their supposed new spiritual insights with a little bit of scripture, and in the process, make a lethal mixture of spiritual error. Verse 21 concludes with the phrase, "Because no lie is of the truth." John is saying that a lie cannot mix with the truth. Truth and lies are like oil and water. They can't mix. Believers cannot know and accept the truth and at the same time infuse a little bit of a lie. Mixing truth with lies makes the whole thing a lie. For example, pure water is pure water, and pure water is good and healthy for the body. But mixing even just a little bit of impurity makes the whole thing dangerous to drink. John says that there is no lie in the truth. A lie and truth cannot coexist. They're incompatible. Whatever opposes the truth of God is a lie, and Christians are to depart from it. Accepting a lie and embedding it into our life is not an option for a Christian. In the Christian worldview, life does not function well if it's established upon and shaped by a lie. Actually, one's eternal life could be at stake. Truth and error cannot be combined to yield something beneficial. Truth and error, truth and lies, are as incompatible as light and darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul wrote the following, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Paul is emphatic. Lies do not mix with truth, and Christians ought not to knowingly tolerate any mixture of truth and error in their own life. Mixing truth and error is spiritually lethal. The Apostle John concurs. Mixing truth and error is hazardous to one's own life. Next time, we'll consider what it means to abide in Christ. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Be sure and join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.